John chapter 1. We have now finished and completed the prologue where it spoke of the first 15 verses of the pre-existence of Christ and all of his greatness and glory, a deity, and who he is. And in verse 15 through 18, we got an initial introduction to the public ministry of John the Baptist. We are now launching into this gospel, and what we are going to have now until about the end of chapter 4 is one witness after another giving testimony to Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, the early disciples, the Father, the Scripture, over and over to give testimony of who this person is. And then chapter 5 on begins the opposition. The religious people, our leaders, and people in general from time to time become antagonistic to his claims. But in this part, God had taken great care to establish the witness and the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we're just going to deal with verses 19 through 28, where a delegation out of among the religious leaders had been dispatched to go question John the Baptist. This is how his testimony becomes informative for us as well as on record. Let's look at those verses and then we'll pray. Verse 19, now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. They said to him, who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. As the prophet Isaiah said, now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, why do you baptize if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, it preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things are done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word tonight. We pray that you would help us to be attentive and to really understand the importance of the validity to the testimony of John the Baptist. You had prophesied in your word that a forerunner was coming who will lead the way, pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to whom we must go to for salvation. And so, Lord, we pray that we realize the significance of these various passages that, again, one wave after another brings about the validity of the ministry and person of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In summary, what I wanted to do in this passage, in the way of a title, I simply entitle it, Voice Crying Out in the Wilderness. If you follow the life of Christ chronologically through the gospel, many things that happened since verse 14 of this chapter. In fact, between verse 14 and 15, 30 years has elapsed, but often we missed it. The first 14 verses was the pre-incarnate Christ and all of the foretelling of him coming born of the flesh, the Word became flesh. Then we have, in verse 15, the early witness of John. He began to witness and testify of Christ. And in between, we've already had the birth announcement of John and Jesus, the meeting of Mary and Martha, the whole story around the birth of Jesus, Jesus' temple visit when he was 12, and the beginning of the public ministry of John and Jesus are already in making. In fact, when you follow this closely, chronologically, Jesus' baptism had already taken place, and right after his baptism, he was out in the wilderness for 40 days and nights, fasting and being tempted by Satan. It was after that we get to here. This is where we're at. So I like to keep things in perspective, because so often we miss all of the other gospel supplement and fill in the gaps in between there. But John gives us the only one who gives us the pre-existence to way in the early part, even before time. What we have here is in verse 19, first part of the verse, it said, now this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask them, who are you? Even in verse 24, they said, now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. Here we have a delegation. Now, first of all, the name or the phrase, the Jews, referred to the religious leaders, we now know of them as the Pharisees, who had sent out a committee to investigate the character and the teaching of John the Baptist. They were commanded and responsible, the religious leaders, for what was being taught in the land. They were investigating, is this man, is it free to let him speak, or does he need to be silent? We have from Deuteronomy 13 and Deuteronomy 18 clear commands in the Old Testament that you must examine anybody who claims to be a prophet. You examine their teaching. If their teaching is off, especially if they tell you to go after other gods, it was such a serious crime that they were stoned to death for doing so. So this is not just simply a delegation of curiosity. They were given a job to ask and pepper John with the right kind of question to find out who he is and who he claims to be and what he said for himself. So if you're taking notes, Deuteronomy 13, verse 1 through 5, and Deuteronomy 18, 20 through 22. In fact, I'll read that. But the prophet who presumed to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other God, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, and the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken, the prophet has spoken it, presumptuously you shall not be afraid of him. As you can see, the Lord himself took seriously the teaching that was going on among his people, and the religious leaders were the custodians and the guardians of the law. They are accountable to God for what was being taught in the land. So the Jews, the religious leaders, sent a delegation down. This delegation consisted of some priests and Levites. Okay? They were to question John. They came out for two reasons. Number one, his popularity got their attention. It wasn't a few people coming out to see him. It was multitude coming out to hear him. And secondly, he was doing something that was kind of different, and that was baptism. And so here lies the name John the Baptist. The delegation asked John a series of questions to find out who he is, who he was, and his teaching. Let's look at the first question in the second half of verse 19 and verse 20. The question is simply this, who are you? And they asked him, and he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. So the first question and answer we have here is the fact, who are you? And he confessed. His answer was unmistakable. It was positive. It was clear. It was emphatic. He confessed, did not deny. confessed, showed his absolute clarity and firmness and consistency. I am not the Christ. I am not the anointed one. I am not the coming prophesied Messiah. And so that all of the Old Testament had anticipated. So that was the first question right out of the gate. Who are you? It was a form of a denial. I am not the Christ. Second question and answer found in the first part of verse 21. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. Okay, so what then? Are you Elijah? Well, this is coming from what would prophesy in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. Which said, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And later on it talked even more in the context. It talked about the sending of a forerunner. And he uses the term or the name Elijah. And John Damper was very clear. I am not. I am not him. But there's a lot of confusion that's going on around this idea of John being Elijah. And John was actually the fulfillment of Malachi's prophecy of Elijah, but not as people think. Some people want to think that it was the actual Elijah coming, not realizing that what was intended and meant was in the spirit of Elijah. And let me explain. Here's what our Lord said of John in Matthew 11, verse 13 through 14. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to believe it, he is Elijah who is to come. And then later on in Matthew 17, verse 10 through 13, he said this, and his disciples asked him, saying, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Jesus answered and said to them, indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah had come already. And they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hand. And then the disciples understood he spoke of them, of John the Baptist. Clearly we know who this is. Elijah is the one who came. The promised coming of Elijah was John the Baptist. Where we get not the actual person, but in the spirit of, it comes from the announcement that John's father received from the angel in Luke 1, verse 17. The angel said to Zechariah, he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That was the very next verse after Malachi 4, 5. Malachi 4, 6 said that, and the angel of the Lord put that together, and that John, your son John, who will become John the Baptist, will come as Elijah and in the spirit of Elijah. Though the people at the time were looking forward and forward to an actual reincarnated Elijah, that is not the case. So, again, they missed everything. They missed it totally. Even the disciples had questions. But when they asked the Lord, he explained, I understand. This, he's talking about regarding Elijah, had to do with John. So, but John is saying, he's not denying his call or his ministry. He is denying the fact, I am not the reincarnated Elijah that was popular in the thinking of the religious people of the day. Third question, it comes in the second half of verse 21. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Now, notice what it didn't say. It didn't say, are you a prophet? It is, are you the prophet? The one that would prophesy. Aptly prophesied in Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 18, where it says this, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear, according to all you desire of the Lord, your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see the great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, and what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and I'll put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. So you can tell this is a singular person. Not, I'm going to send a group of prophets that are going to be my boy. From the time of Deuteronomy until the ministry of the prophets was many centuries later. But this is speaking of the prophet, which was another term prophetically of the Messiah. This prophet was none other than the Lord himself. How do we know that? Well, when you get into the New Testament, you'll have such recordings as Acts 7, verse 37. And this is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear. If you remember, Acts 7 is what? Acts 7 is that great testimony of Stephen before the religious leader. And his whole dialogue is all to point to Jesus Christ. And that would have angered them to kill him. But he was even using that phraseology that was used in Deuteronomy 18 to speak of the prophet, the one who will come and you need to hear him. Even in Acts chapter 3, verse 22 and 3, for Moses truly said to the Father, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things and whatever he said to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. And again, that was a sermon, one of the early sermons of the early church that spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times they had mistakenly thought that the Messiah and the prophet were two different people, when in reality this prophet, the prophet, are you the prophet, was the question. And John said, no, I'm not. Fourth question, verse 22 and 3. Then they said to him, who are you, that we may answer those who sent it? What do you say about yourself? Before we get to verse 23, let's deal with this one. Who are you? Now they're giving John a chance. They kind of struck out, you know. All they're getting is no answers. You know, no, no, no. In fact, I like what one commentator said, they're not doing so well because the only thing they can report is no, no, no. But I like the progress of John's answer. I am not the Christ. I am not. No. Real simple, paring down. It's almost like he said, I'm tired of talking about me. Let me talk about who I came to serve, Jesus Christ. He did not want to talk about himself. The whole mission he was called to, born for, to live for, was to point everybody to another person, Jesus Christ. So he's now given the opportunity. Who are you? What say you? I love his answer. Verse 23. I am the voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. I am the voice. This was out of Isaiah 40, verse 3. It was the prophecy of one of the prophecies of the forerunner of the Messiah. I am the voice leading the way, preparing the way, so when the Messiah comes, everything cleared up and people look to him. It was interesting when you look at the account in our John Gospel, make straight the way of the Lord. Isaiah's account said, prepare the way of the Lord. In either case, the idea is to make a highway for God, open it up so people can see and know about the promise coming Messiah, the Christ, the prophet. This is also mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The testimony of John. And I love John. John is already a popular guy. I mean, he got a crowd. That's what prompted this commission, this delegation. He's got some people following him. And he's got some clout, so to speak. As best you can, I guess, for a guy who eats wild locusts and you know, lived out in the no man's land in the wilderness. The idea here is it was his message that got the attention of the people. And his message was always Christ, Christ, nothing but Christ. I am nothing but a voice. The voice. He didn't pretend or pose to be somebody important or draw attention to himself. Beloved, all I am is a voice. A voice not to be seen, but to be heard and heed. I am preparing the way of the Lord. And we know earlier in this chapter, he was sent that they may believe on the one true light, Jesus Christ. John was a voice with a message. A voice, one who was assigned to prepare and pave the way for others to come to Jesus Christ. Beloved, his voice was clear. His voice was faithful, even unto death. Was he perfect? No. But he was useful and a great and godly man, even from the lips of our Lord. I like what Matthew Henry said regarding John's testimony here. He said that he wanted us to observe four things from that. First of all, it's a human voice, not an angelic or mystical. It was a real human voice with a human method. Number two, the voice that cried out, which showed earnestness and importunity. The idea is it wasn't just the ho-hum and I got this is what I vote to do and might as well get on with it. No, there's a sense of urgency and a sense of passion. Number three, it was crying out from the wilderness. And I like his observation here. He said, from a plate of silence and solitude away from the noise of the world and the hurry of life. The words of Matthew Henry. And number four, the cry was to make straight the way of the Lord. We see John's calling and mission was to be a witness for Christ. That's why in verse 19 it sets the stage, now this is the testimony of John. This is the testimony of John. Testimony is another word for he's a witness. These were the key words of the Gospel of John. We're going to hear time and time again people testifying, witnessing to Christ. The particular miracles that were chosen for the Gospel of John was to be in tune with the witness of who he is. He is Christ, the Son of God, that believing in him you may have life. Let's remember what John 1 verse 7 and 8 said. This man came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all through him might believe, that all through who? Through Christ would come and believe, that they would come to believe through his testimony and his witness. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. He was to prepare and to make straight the way of the Lord. This was John's mission, his ministry, and his passion and burning desire to declare and magnify Christ. So we're now down to the final question, the fifth one, verse 25 through 27. Let's look at verse 25. And they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, or the prophet? In other words, where is your authority from? They totally dismiss the forerunner, the prophecy of the forerunner of Isaiah 40, verse 3. I am the voice crying out in the wilderness. They totally deflected that. Why, why are you doing this baptizing business? And instead of getting frustrated by their question, he immediately does what? Turn their attention to Jesus Christ again. Verse 26 and 7. John answered them saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. Again, pointing to Jesus Christ. This is his testimony to this delegation. They peppered him with a bunch of questions. They thought and they made a bunch of assumptions, and all the answers were, no, I'm not the Christ. No, I'm not Elijah. No, I'm not the prophet. I am the voice crying out to the wilderness. I baptize, but why are you worrying about my baptism when you need to worry about the one who baptism is much more profound? The idea is that he is coming, and he is the one who will, who had, as he stated earlier from our last week, where it talked about that he would prefer before me. Who, the idea is that though I came first, yet he was preferred before me because of his deity and his glory and his greatness and nature. But it is he who I'm pointing to, and he made this very humbling statement. If a voice in the wilderness wasn't enough, I am not even worthy to unloose his sandals, which is language of a slave. I'm not even worthy enough to be his slave, to loosen his sandals, wash his feet, which would to cut them when you had sandals and walked all over, and you know, and the, you know, dusty dirt pathways. When you came home, the slave took care of the cleaning and cleansing of your feet. I'm not even worthy to be that. One of the things we need to catch in this, and this is an important lesson for us. Number one, just like John was sent to be a witness for Christ, we have been born again to be a witness for Christ, to share Christ. There are a lot of people who have never heard, who, or let's even say they have heard, but what they have heard is erroneous, is false, it's misleading. There are many perceptions about Jesus Christ that's absolutely blasphemous. It is the job of God's people to clarify it when opportunity arises. To know that's not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible is this. He is, above all, Christ, the Son of God. Secondly, I want you to think, John would quick to deny himself of this, all of these fancy titles, but he did not deny Christ. He was proud of the fact that he was nothing but a void and a person not even worthy to loosen his sandals. May we have that spirit of serving our Lord. May we have that spirit of coming in and just simply be a voice and quit worrying about being seen and getting credit or get accolades. It's not about that. It's about honoring and glorifying him and being used of God while it is yet called day. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. What a man we have here who faithfully carried out his mission no matter what was thrown at him. Here, a delegation, which in itself would have been intimidating. He just spoke the truth plainly, squarely. And it all centered around Christ. So, Father, we pray that you would help us to have the idea and the humility and the sense of purpose that John did. Lord, we do. We have been called and commissioned to be ambassadors for the message. We are called with a message of reconciliation to do the ministry of reconciliation. to be God's voice, imploring and pleading and begging sinners to come to Christ, to bow before Him, to surrender their wills to Him for their cleansing and forgiveness and reconciliation. Oh, Father, may we do it faithfully as John did. May we do it with clarity. But remember that we're simply a voice. It is the Spirit of God that transforms. It is the Spirit of God that regenerates. It is the Spirit of God that quickens our mind to see the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we ask that you'll help it to be true and faithful, as we've seen here in our passage with John. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.